Welcome to Obsessed and So Obscure, a Matt Berry music podcast, or as we will be referring to it from here on out, a very Berry Christmas. I'm Courtney, and as always, I'm joined by Jesse.
Hi.
And Tara.
Hello.
Matt has produced so much Christmassy goodness that we had to split our December episode into two parts, a regular Matt Stravaganza. We are very happy to be here.
Oh, God, sorry. Courtney got stuck in pun mode again. Here to discuss the making of Matt's Christmas song, we have our first ever live guest, Joan Stevenson. Some of you may know Joan as the administrator of the widely successful Matt Berry Appreciation Society Facebook group, which has grown to 40,000 members. What some of you may not know is that Joan is a very talented vocalist and was the lead singer on Matt Berry's crowdsourced Christmas song. Welcome, Joan.
Hiya!
We're so excited.
I'm trying to contain myself.
You guys didn't see this, but she made a face when we said the wildly popular or successful or whatever Matt Berry Facebook group. But it is. It's like the best one out there.
40,000 members. That's insane.
Yeah.
And you're the only administrator.
That's
God bless
like
you.
A full-time job.
That's
doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
If you need help, by the way.
Yeah, I just might.
Yeah.
And I didn't start it. I got stuck with it. I mean,
oh, really?
What?
I joined the page like anybody else. I found it a few years ago, and two other people were admins. And I guess because I knew a lot about Matt, I would talk about and offer like pictures, videos, things like that. They made me an admin on the page. And sometime after that, within maybe a year, a few months to a year after that, they both dropped off. They were both,
what?
So I'm the only one left to manage the page. So
I thought that you would have chosen a different name. You know, I was thinking that to myself.
I changed the name.
I wonder how Joan.
Yeah, I did change the
name.
What
was it before?
It was the Matt Berry Fan Club page. So I changed it to the Matt Berry Appreciation Society.
Appreciation Society sounds
better.
Much more fitting for Matt.
Fancier.
For sure.
But like, I guess just because, like, of your Tumblr, Marvelous Matt, in my head, I was like, your Facebook group to me, I'm like, oh, like, I'm surprised you didn't do it as Marvelous Matt. But how do you find that? Because it would have to be Marvelous Matt Berry, and then that kind of loses its magic a little bit.
Yeah. Just Marvelous Matt has a really good ring to it.
I just wanted to do something different, because at the time on Tumblr, a lot of fan blogs were called Fuck Yeah, Whatever. In fact, that's how I found Tumblr. That's how I found Tumblr. I when I became aware of Matt Berry and of Obsessed and started to look for, okay, who is this man? Can we find information? I would regularly comb Google and put in his name in Google and see what I got. And I got Fuck Yeah Matt Berry on Tumblr. Like, okay, what is this? So I go and look at it. That was my first look at Tumblr. I'm like, okay, I didn't quite understand it. I'm like, okay, all right, right. Yeah, and then about a year or so later, I'm starting a Tumblr.
That's so funny. So, Courtney and I are a little bit late to this whole Matt Berry thing. We didn't become fans until, like, the end of 2020, beginning of 2021, right? So, randomly, so your Tumblr now is the source for all Matt Berry information.
It is the archive.
It is the number one archive.
I think
the repository.
I think that's what I set out, because I became aware of him in like 2008.
Yeah.
Adult Swim had run Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. They had run it once. Yeah. I'd seen a few. The first time they ran it, I'd seen a few episodes. I didn't get the whole run. I was like, oh, this show's funny. I like this. This is cool. All right, next time, because they rerun it, because usually they will, once they run a series, and then they'll wait a couple months, and then they'll run it again. I'll wait for the second run, and when they started running it again, I started taping it, of course. I started taping it.
Very 2008 of you.
And then finally got to the last episode with the one-track lover. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, what is this? Oh, this is a jam. I like this song. What is it? That's what got me interested. Boom. Okay, who is this guy? Okay, did he do his own singing? The questions start. Did he do his own singing? Okay, I gotta find this out. Did he write this song? I gotta find this out. Okay, who is this guy? Look in the cut. Matt Berry. Okay, start. Okay, found out everything I could about the show. This guy. There was really little information on him. That's where it started with that song. That's where it started. The very beginning. And I started to had to find everything I needed to find out about this guy. And then it just evolved from there. He was the reason I joined Twitter.
Oh my gosh.
That is my origin story of Matt Berry. Like the Garth Marenghi and the One Track Lover, it's the exact same. And then I joined Twitter for him. And to be perfectly honest, the only reason and the only time I've ever gone on Tumblr is following your blog back in, I think, like, was it 2012 to 2016 or something? And I would go on Twitter and, like, follow Matt's insanity that he was posting back then. It was very entertaining. Yeah, and you were the first podcast and probably the only one I've ever listened to, honestly.
Yeah, I think I'm the only one out there, except for you guys, thank God. I just decided, okay, this guy's pretty cool. And then I found out about Snuffbox. And then I started, okay, where can I see this? Where can I find this? And it was on YouTube. Back then, there were no long form videos on YouTube. Videos could only last for about 15 minutes. So every episode of Snuffbox was like 15 minute video, 3 15 minute videos of every episode of Snuffbox, which I downloaded. There was only one episode that I couldn't find a piece of because it was on some weird website called Facebook. Because back then...
Don't you mean the Facebook?
No, back then Facebook was just coming out of privacy. At right before then, you could only be on Facebook if you belonged to a certain college.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was for. Yeah. And then they just started making it available to the public, and like 15 minutes of this one Snuffbox episode was on Facebook. And I'm not joining a website just to get 15 minutes of a show. So I dealt with that, but eventually I bought the DVD. I bought the deluxe Australian DVD that had the song, the extra CD with all the songs on it.
Yeah, I have that one too.
I have that one also.
I just said, this guy is great. He's a fabulous musician. And nobody knows about this. So I just made it my mission, like, to pull every piece of information I could find. Because I'm sure there were other people out there that were wanting to know who he was.
Well, yeah. Like,
and so I just pulled everything, and just boom. That's what the blog was. So yeah.
Courtney and I ended up randomly... Before we didn't even know each other. Well, like, Courtney and I met through your page.
Tara's Facebook group.
Yeah, really, Tara's Facebook group is where we started chatting. And then we found out that we did a deep dive of your Tumblr on the very same weekend for the first time. Trying to scroll all the way back to the beginning, which is impossible on Tumblr, by the way.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I can't even do it.
It's Martin Luther King weekend, January 2021. I had the day off from work. I had nothing going on that weekend, and that was all I did that weekend.
Yep.
I remember I had a whole list of things I was going to do over my long weekend, and none of them happened. I just went down a black hole, and here I am.
It's the ultimate rabbit hole. And it's the thing that sucks is that so many of the stuff, the links and stuff that you posted to, like the YouTubes and stuff, so much of it is gone now.
It's dead or broken. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, back to the Christmas song.
Moving on.
The Christmas song was promoted by Absolute Radio in 2011, and that's all the background information I have about it. We found a couple of quotes about the Christmas episode, how it came to be. One of them was from Digital Spy from December 2011. The IT Crowd comedian and actor has compiled a crowdsourced seasonal single, a Christmas song credited to Matt Berry and everyone, using the GarageBand application. Quote, it came about purely from me being interested in the technical side of it, Berry told Digital Spy. Would it be possible for a whole bunch of people to listen to something that's already been composed and then play along with it? I had the basic song, which on the first video displayed the tempo and all the chords. You would send that to me without any backing, just you on your own, and I place that over the track. Eventually, I've got a whole bunch of people who are playing in time with the song, and I take most of myself out. The proceeds from the sale of the song went to a homelessness charity called Shelter in the UK.
So Barry said, the homeless thing, people always associate that with blokes with dogs on strings. The whole thing about a family losing their home stuck with me. It just seemed like something that I wanted to help with. From a Clash magazine article from November 2011, Tracy Griffin, Shelter's director of fundraising, said, "We are thrilled that Matt has chosen to support Shelter with his festive single. Every 2 minutes, someone faces the nightmare of losing their home. Any money raised by this song will go towards ensuring that shelter can reach more people who need our help to stay in their homes this Christmas.
From the same Clash magazine interview in November 2011, Matt said, "Christmas is about being inclusive, sharing, and selfless, much like this song. My aim is to release a Christmas single that a whole bunch of people, young and old, can say they were a part of. Please show your support for the project and for Shelter, and let's do something original." When asked in the Digital Spy interview if he was a fan of Christmas songs, Matt said, "I am. I like the good ones. I like the Roy Wood and Phil Spector ones, the decent ones. I've got nothing against Christmas songs. Of course, they're naff, but I don't mind that." That's something that we love about Matt. He's never been afraid to be a little uncool. In a Guardian Q&A a few years later in 2015, Matt was asked if he was going to cover a Christmas song, what would it be? And he answered, "It would probably be the Krista Burr one, A Spaceman Came Traveling. That's probably the one I would do, but I don't think the band would go for that in any way. I think they'd say it was too obvious." So, doesn't sound like we're getting a sequel anytime soon, but who knows?
I've never even heard that song. I've never heard of it. I've never heard it. So, interesting. I did a very unscientific Twitter poll. Somebody was talking about a Christmas, wanting Matt to do a Christmas album, which I really never gave much thought to because I don't think it's something he'd ever be interested in doing. But there was an unscientific poll that we did, and it was just about how would if Matt did a Christmas album, would we want him to do originals only, classic covers, or would we want it to be a mixed bag of like classics and original?
Mixed bag.
Yeah, 56% of people said it was a mixed bag, and then followed by classic covers, and then 11% said originals only. So
I am proudly one of that 11%. I don't know why anyone would turn down the opportunity for more original Matt music.
No.
Although I'm confessed that.
That's too many Christmas songs.
Joan, what do you think? What would you want?
I don't know. I guess everybody does a Christmas album. I mean, it's
a thing.
Everyone wants their traditional Christmas tunes, you know, the songs that they associate with Christmas done by their favorite artists. That's why everybody does one. I always want to hear original music from Matt, but I think it'd be kind of fun to hear his version of Jingle Bells. What the hell?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's what I think. You know, I don't know about
Good
Jingle
King Wenceslas or something. You know, I mean, yes. It'd be kind of interesting to hear what he would do.
Get a really
with those
good
songs.
Like psychedelic synth spin on Good King Wenceslas. Yeah.
The words out of my mouth.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. I like it. Let's
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Why not?
Yeah. Let's do it. We're gonna have to petition this. Start like
absolutely.
An actual petition for Matt to do a Christmas album. I don't know why. I'm not a fan of Christmas albums. I just need more music.
Me neither. Me neither. But we're Matt fans. So we're give us that. I will listen to it every year.
Christmas album is not something that I've ever purposefully sought out. So, but I would.
No.
I definitely would. So anyway, Joan, we briefly talked about, you know, how you became a fan of Matt's, because that's really amazing. I don't know if people don't know, but Joan's from Detroit. So, you know, like us, he's not that popular here. And definitely mm-hmm. when Joan became a fan, nobody knew who the hell he was mm-hmm. in the United States anyway. Not a lot of people in Britain even probably knew who he was at that time. So I just think the fact that you stumbled upon him when you did is really, really amazing. And then had the
Well, blame Adult Swim. They were the ones who ran Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. That was, if I hadn't seen that, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
That's so funny. So the Christmas song, how did you find out about this Christmas song? Because it was promoted on Absolute Radio, which is not in the United States.
Right. Someone had posted it on the blog because I always had it open for submissions, anything that anybody wanted to post. I can't remember who posted it. Somebody posted it and I read it. It's like, oh, doing a song? Okay, let's check it out. You had to go and download the stem file that had the tune that you could learn and the bare bones of it so you could record what you wanted to it. And, I recorded backup vocals, like I said, because I said earlier, I assumed that, everyone assumed that Matt would be the one singing it. So I just did my oohs and ahs and, you know, backup sounds, you know, typical shit, ooh, ooh, you know, stuff like that, sent it in. And then a couple of days after that, Matt tweeted something to the effect, "We don't have enough lead vocals, get your mics out." And I, for the life of me, did not want to send a lead vocal. Like I said, I am a singer. That's what I do. But I didn't want to send a lead vocal. I rebelled against that.
Now, what was your hesitation?
Yeah.
Why not?
Why? This is his song. He's going to be singing it. This is before he said he was going to take himself out of it. He's going to be saying, it's his song. I wanted him to sing it. I just wanted to be the light in the background to allow him to shine. So I said, okay, we got to do it. We're going to do it. Okay, so I went in. I recorded lead vocals and accents and whatever, and I sent all that in. The producers, the one of the producers, his name was Vince something. I can't remember his first name. We sent all the files into this particular person, and then there was a waiting period of, I don't know how many days, a few days after that. And I had gotten an email. There was something wrong with one of the, no, this is before this. I'd gotten an email saying that, okay, we're going to be having people, you know, perform the song on video. So because we're making a video of it. And we're going to be using quite a bit of your contribution, so we would like you to make a video.
That's amazing.
Oh.
And I'm like, the fuck?
I'm sure.
Okay. All right, I'll do it. So, you know, I did my thing, sent that in, and there was a problem with how it was recorded. I don't know, I had a setting wrong or something on the camera that I used or whatever, because I was using like a little Sony SureShot. A little freaking camera, because I didn't have a video camera. And I had to re-record it, send it in, waited maybe a couple of days after that, 2-3, I don't remember how many days. Got another email back asking, would you be available to have a phone interview with Jeff Lloyd on Absolute Radio? I said, okay, yeah, sure. I'm like, the fuck? Okay, yeah, sure. they told me the time and you know, with the day and the time, and I'm like, okay, so I'm thinking like this. Yeah, I'm probably be talking to Jeff Lloyd. I may be talking to Matt, too. I figured he might be in the studio.
Oh.
So I figured,
so
okay,
some idea
this is my shot. It's like, this is my shot. You know, because he does the voiceovers for the station, I figured. But I'd made up my mind. In my brief life, I've been lucky enough to meet several celebrities or people that I admire, whatever, and I made up my mind when that moment happens, if that ever happens, just tell them straightforward that I appreciate them and I appreciate their work and how much their work has meant to me, and then leave it at that. Don't, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love you! You know, don't
no,
do that
shit. That never,
so, right.
Never has the effect you
tell,
want it to.
I just want, just be honest, be straight, tell the person straightforward. So I said to myself, okay, if he's going to be in their studio, I'm going to take an opportunity, if it's there, to tell him that I appreciate his work, well, whatever. And during that conversation that I had with Jeff Lloyd, which actually the anniversary of that conversation is tomorrow.
That's crazy.
November 18th, 2011. This is the anniversary of that conversation. He said, well, I've been a fan of Matt for some time, and you know, I appreciate his work. I'm a fan of his work, and I appreciate it. I just took a chance to jump work with him, albeit virtually. So I'm like, there, I took my shot. There it is. If I never speak to the man again in life, I said what I had to say. I said yeah. My piece. So I hope that someday that I will actually be able to shake his hand, at least at some point.
Well, yeah.
We're still waiting on that U.S. tour, but
one
day.
Two of the three of us are still waiting for that moment.
U.S. tour. Yeah.
I'm hopeful.
It would be nice.
Even if he does a U.K. tour, we're all going, okay?
Oh, yeah,
so
we're there.
We've made that decision.
Yeah.
So you talked to him on the air, and that's when you found out, right? That's...
Yeah, because Jeff said, we found out last night that you're the lead vocal on this track. I was like, what the fuck? And I'm like, what? No.
Why didn't they tell you? Why was it such a secret?
I think I had an inkling. I'd heard something the day before on, was it Absolute Radio? Was it another program? I think they had mentioned, I lie. I think they had mentioned something about me possibly being the lead vocal, but I wasn't completely sure. I think I had to go through my archives and find out, I've got so much shit in my archives.
They did a teaser the day before, apparently.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I think I have that somewhere. I have to find it.
That's great. I'd just like to find out that way. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I was thinking, why wouldn't the producer tell me in the email or something? So why, you know?
Yeah, like prepare you because you're gonna lose it. Like if you told me on air that I fucking first of all Matt's there and you're the lead vocals on a song.
I didn't know he was gonna be there. I just that's it. That he might.
Don't surprise me. Don't surprise me because I'm gonna lose my mind. I'm gonna scream. It's not gonna be a good look. Like they should have prepared you. Honestly, that's a little strange. It's a little weird that they decided to do it that way.
So last night something exciting happened. If you've been listening to the program over the last few weeks, we have been backing Matt Berry, our very own Matt Berry, the voice of the radio station. You may know him for his music or the IT Crowd or Garth Marenghi. Anyway, Matt's been doing an amazing thing. The world's first crowdsourced Christmas song. He promised that if you sent in something, it could be you singing, playing an instrument, banging on pans in the kitchen, playing the spoons, he promised he would incorporate that into the track. So the deadline for submitting entries closed a few days ago, and Matt was just locked away in his garret, working away, slaving over a computer and a mixing desk. Last night, we got a phone call about 7:20 from Matt saying, I've done it. And we played a preview last night on the programme. But we said, let's not shoot our load, so to speak, too early. Let's hang on to this and give it a big premiere tomorrow. So people have been tweeting about it all day today. And On the line now, it's Matt. Hello, Matt Berry.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Have you slept? I'm good, yeah.
I did, yeah. I did actually last night. Yeah, that was the first time.
Wow.
In a long time.
And how does it feel having this ready to unleash on the world?
Well, it's a massive relief. It's done. Yeah, it's good. You know, I hope people like it.
What was the weirdest thing you got sent in?
I've been sent some crazy things. I think a guy playing a mouth organ at the end of what looked like an underground tunnel. That was one of the craziest things. But it's been mostly, you know, sort of ukuleles and like mandolins and things, you know, and kind of penny whistles and pots and pans. And it's all been great.
You've had a few school choirs on there as well, right?
I have. And a few of them couldn't keep time. A few of them could. Mm-hmm. So the ones that couldn't keep time, I had to kind of you know, rejiggle.
Yes.
And so they're all on there.
We've not got an auto-tune scandal on our hands, have we, Matt?
No. That would be, no, that's far too difficult. No, no. Anyone really out of tune, which is very, very quiet.
Right. So so this is coming out in December.
December the 4th.
Right. And I've got it here ready to play. Before I do so, and the proceeds are going to be for Shelter, the homelessness and housing charity.
And it was, I've just got to say that it was mastered last night at Abbey Road, who did an amazing job.
And did you get to go to Abbey Road and do that?
I didn't, because I was producing it here, sending it there, and then I didn't have time.
Wow.
So it was done. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
It was all done at once.
Are you looking forward to getting everybody who's on the track together for a gig?
That would be amazing. They're quite sort of distant, you know.
Well,
I don't know whether you know about the lead singer. Is that what you're about to
I'm about to talk about the lead singer. So we have Joan on the line. Hello, Joan.
Oh, wow.
Hello.
Hello. Whereabouts are you, Joan?
I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
Well, Joan, we discovered last night that you are the lead singer on this track.
Oh, Lord. Good God.
Yeah. So, Matt, could you tell me about how you came across Joan's entry?
Joan, like everyone else, just randomly sent in a vocal track, and I did actually listen to them all, you know, despite what, you know, you might think. I went through every single one. And Joan's just kind of, it kind of is incredible. And I was kind of worried that it was so good, you know, that people might think, you know, I've got someone that I know to do it. But I didn't. Joan's came, you know, with everyone else's, you know, I got some from like Germany and whatever. Joan's came with everyone else's. I listened to it and thought, good God, that's got to, you know, that's got to be fairly high in the mix, as opposed to being fairly low, because it just fits the song. Do you know what I mean?
It really does. It's got that Darlene Love.
And Joan's from Detroit.
So yes, tell us about yourself, Joan.
well, I've been singing ever since I was little, but not quote unquote professionally until, say, the last 20 years.
Yeah.
I just sing part time with a band.
So where do the band play? Are you playing in bars? What's the deal?
Yeah, we play in clubs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Every so often, not as often as we used to, but yeah, we play kind of a, classic rock, mm-hmm. And bluesy kind of stuff.
And how did you find out about the track?
On a blog. I have been a fan of Matt Berry for quite some time, mm-hmm. and musically, I think he's just fabulous. And I just jumped at the chance to work with him, albeit virtually.
Yeah, I just heard an excited groan come from you there, Matt. Something
no, it's embarrassed. It's embarrassed.
No, seriously.
Well, I mean, it's a phenomenal performance here on the track, Joan. I mean, it really has got that Darlene Love quality to it. This is Joan in Detroit. I mean, entries came from all over the world, right, Matt?
Yeah. I mean, like, there's Joan's up there. There's a bunch of other people, you know, who are also singing the lead line. It is kind of literally a wall of sound. People did it on their iPads, using sort of GarageBand, because, they sent in all the kind of videos of them singing the lead line, and I just put them all on and kind of had some, sort of higher than others. So there's some that are up near Joan. There's this kind of country one that's up near where Joan is, and I've taken myself out completely.
Very, very humble of you.
Well, you don't want to hear me. So it's all...
No, we do.
Well, Joan, I'm guessing this is the first time you've heard your performance grafted onto the finished track.
Yes.
Well, it's the first time this has been played. Matt, you've got the voice. It was your dream, your vision for Shelter. Do you want to do the introduction?
Oh, God. okay. You're listening to Jeff Lloyd's show and the premiere of the Christmas song, In Aid of Shelter.
Remarkably calm and composed. Yeah. I mean, even telling yourself in advance that you would kind of keep your head screwed on, you sound totally unfazed.
Believe me, that's what I wanted to portray, I guess.
Well,
but
it worked.
I'm sitting there on the phone, I'm on the phone like,
nailed it!
Yes, screaming on the inside.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You can't see Joan, but she's miming
internally.
Screaming.
I'm jumping up and down like
right.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I was like, honey, are you okay? Yeah, Mom, I'm good. Good. Thank you.
I'm just dying right now. This is the greatest moment of my life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh my gosh. So other than that, when you
now I have a moment where, hey, you know that vampire show you like and that guy that you like? Yeah, well, listen to this.
Right. That's me.
I'm on the thing.
Joan, can you tell us a little bit about kind of the direction that you decided to take when you recorded those vocals? Like, what were your inspirations? What were you going for? What did you have in mind?
I didn't really have anything particular in mind until the second round when they wanted the lead vocals. Like something kind of hit me. I just initially it was just oohs and ahs, just background vocals, just whoo whoo whoo, you know, just the typical. And I don't, well, I don't know how this is going to sound. The typical black girl group that stands in the back of every rock group or band, you know, just the three girls just sitting there, whoo, whoo, you know that.
Yeah.
That was it. That was all I had in the mind, like Pointer Sisters, background vocals. That's it. I had nothing in mind. But when I was doing the lead vocals, just, I don't know if you had a chance to listen, just regular singing, but somewhere in there, I started feeling like a little Ronnie Spector, that, I started.
That's completely what I hear.
Yeah, that just popped into my head, and I said, oh, what the hell, let's just do it. You know, I didn't set out to do it. I didn't mean to do it. It just came into my head in the recording of all the stuff. It just popped into my head. I said, oh, let's just do it.
So other than talking to Matt during the interview, did you communicate with him at all? Or was the song completely done by the time the interview came out?
The song was done. Okay. Everybody sent everything in, and like Matt said, it was done mostly remotely. Everything, it was mixed it, and then he sent it to Abbey Road for mastering and whatnot. So it's like, my voice has actually been heard in one of the most famous recording studios in the world.
I know.
But
so cool.
I have not been there.
Doesn't matter. So cool.
Part of you has been there.
That's so cool.
And as far as Abbey Road goes, I mean, that's really the most important part.
That's
right?
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is really amazing. I'm just trying to figure out how the hell he did this on GarageBand. GarageBand is, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know anything about GarageBand. I use Cubase for my recordings, and Cubase is quite robust, so. From what I understand, GarageBand is too.
I use GarageBand to edit the podcast. So, I mean, I know how it works, but I would not be able to wrap my head around like that many tracks and all that stuff. That would be insane from like so many different people. I can't, like, just that alone is super impressive.
And it only took him a few days, which is crazy.
Yeah.
What's insane about that is if you listen to it, he said that they literally did the wall of sound. If you listen to it with headphones, it's insane. You can almost individually hear everyone, but it's so blended to where it is literally, it's like you're standing in front of a wall and like one versus 100. All of the people are there. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's really.
It's insane.
Now, Joan, you've done some covers of a few of Matt's songs too, right? And a few of your own interpretations of some of Matt's songs. How have those come about?
So good.
I don't know how I found the track for One Track Lover. I don't know if I was deliberately looking for it or if it came up in a search, but I found a bloke that did it on SoundCloud, and I'm like, and it was the full song. It wasn't a little, you know, like the short version that you hear in this episode. It was the whole song. I was like, oh, I gotta do this. I recorded it and I asked the guy, do you mind that I did this? He goes, no, this is great. You actually flipped it for a female to do it and all that. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
It's cool. So it's like, I had to do it. I had to do it.
Why won't he be mine? I wish I was more attractive like Liz. Still, one can only dream. I'm a one-track lover, down a two-way lane, driving fast down the highway. I must have been insane, 'cause the temperature's too high, traveling way too fast, and I knew our loving was too hot to last. He's smooth like ice, cold to the touch,
and it isn't very nice when you're left
cold to the touch.
Alone, your bloke treats you badly, you're hanging on the phone, take
He's
off. Shove your load to the wheel, put the pedal to the floor, cause you're heading for
we
the hills, got to get away, you can't take no more.
Quit
girl, you don't need this, leave him at the door.
Because there's not much of Matt's music that's, what's the word I'm looking for, that's singable? Unless it's by him?
Yeah. If I was going to say flippable.
If you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There are a lot of, the man is full of music, but a lot of singers, it's only that singer can do that song. Nobody else can do it. It wouldn't be, it's weird mm-hmm. or be,
yeah.
it wouldn't be well received. A lot of Matt's music to me, even though I sing, it just would feel weird. I would give my eye teeth to find a track for October Sun, because that is my number one favorite song of his ever in life.
Well, you do kind of interpolate it in your song Village Soul.
I did. Now, that was weird. I don't know what possessed me to even do that.
Ever since the day you left, I've never been the same. It's all I can do to keep from crying whenever someone speaks your name. I realize mistakes I made drove you away. And if I could, I would take it back this very day. Ever since the day we met, you swept me off my feet. And baby, that's not easy. I tried to deny the heat. This fate has not been kind. Past love has been untrue. Because of my awful stormy past, I wasn't really fair to you. I took you for granted, thought you'd always be there. And I didn't give you what you needed, and I was just too blind to care. Mistakes I made, they haunt me to this very day. Like a bad dream, it never goes away. I know I tried your patience as you tried to calm my fears. Trying to help me put the past behind me, the pain and tears. I failed to trust in what we had, I was blind to the truth. But you were always faithful, but I always wanted proof.
There's a song, I can't remember how old I was when I was growing up. In the 70s, there's a girl group called Love Unlimited, and they did a song called Walking in the Rain. And it's just, oh, it's raining, I have to go home and tell my boyfriend how much I love him. And, you know, and I mean, she's actually speaking, oh, I have to tell him how much I love him, blah, 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 and all this. And most of the soul songs in the 70s are like, you know, he did me wrong. I'm going to go out and find me a new man and blah, 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 and all this. And I'm like, well, why don't I flip the script and put the woman in the, well, I did you wrong. You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And all of that just started swirling around in my head with that one song. Like I said, because I love that song, the Walking in the Rain song so much. I just started writing these words. I started listening to Village Dance, and I just started writing these words. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. Let's do it. And that was the demo. That was it. I consider that a demo. It's not really finished, but I can't do anything else to it.
Yeah,
because if I do, I'll screw it up, and I don't want to do that. So
it sounds great.
Just what it is, and I think I sent that to Eddie Piller too, actually, just so he could hear it.
Oh really?
Oh, really? That's awesome.
And
did he ever get a response?
I don't think so. Or either that, or I got a something like, you know, that's great, that's nice, or something like that, something offhanded. But I don't know if he really listened to it or not. But still, I just I know he appreciates, because I was a fan of his podcast as well, and we had had like exchanges through the chat through that about music and whatnot. And I thought, you know, what the hell, send it to him.
For any listeners who might not be aware, Eddie Piller is the head and kind of unofficial mascot of Acid Jazz Records, Matt's record label, and also one of the, if not the most famous mod around right now. So he has his own podcast, The Modcast.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. That's
a great name.
Which Matt has made appearances on.
Yeah.
That's a great name. So I have a question. I loved your version of Jet Setter. like so much. And like I used to listen to it like a lot, and like in my head for a really long time after that, I would like kind of like whenever I hear Jet Setter, because Jet Setter is actually one of my favorite songs. Okay, whatever. I would like kind of like hear your lyrics when he's talking. I would hear you talking.
Hi, would you mind if I sat here?
Not at all, please.
Great. You know, this is my favorite nightclub in London.
Really?
Yeah, I come here often. I've not seen you here before. I think I'd remember.
It's my first time here.
What do you do? Are you a model? Jet setter?
Oh, no.
That type of thing? No? Listen, I'm about to break a pretty good business deal if the figures are right, touch wood.
Touch your what?
I said touch wood.
Hey,
sorry?
I was just minding my own business and you had to come over and start getting all
no,
creepy.
It's just a
you know what? I'm gonna report you.
Security! Where are you going? Oh, God. What's that all about? Christ. Gin and tonic, please. No, just one.
How did Jet Setter come about? Like, how did you just one day you sat down and you're like,
yeah,
I'm gonna be the woman in this, and
I'm driving the car one day. I'm just listening to it because I always had, at that time, opium in the car. Even though when I first heard opium, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
So I'm driving, and I always wondered what is the other side of that conversation.
Yeah.
And I just started doing it. You know, I just, what the hell, you know, just started thinking about what the other side of that conversation would be like. And at the time, my recording equipment was, I had a down for a while because I had to replace something. And I'd gotten my recording equipment back up and my so-called studio running and said, well, you know what? Just for the hell of it, let's record it. Let's see. Some of these recordings are just to see if I can pull it off in an engineering platform, because I had to make it sound like we were both in the same room.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't just record something and just stick it on there. And you know, I had to make it sound like we were both in the same room. Mm-hmm. That was why.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons that I did it, just to see if I could make it sound like that. And I'm like, I thought it was funny.
It did. It really
did.
I thought it was
funny.
It turned out so well.
One of the really cool things about Matt, and I mean, I think it's Matt's music in particular, is how inspiring it is for people in so many different ways. Like, I'm not musical, but like a visual arts type person. So he is very inspiring. He just like inspired me to like do more photography and do more things and kind of put yourself out in a way that I wouldn't have before, which is really kind of crazy because it's not even the same medium, but just like in general. And I've heard that from a lot of people too, that he just has like really inspired them to do art of any type. So I don't know what it is exactly, but it's inspiring.
I'm curious. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I want to hear more about you not being a fan of opium the first time you heard it.
My first, like I said, I came into it from One Track Lover, Loving the Hell Out of That, and then Snuffbox. I got totally engulfed by Snuffbox. It's amazing what he could. He took like two freaking chords and made a whole series soundtrack out of two chords. So I'm like, this guy's a genius. Yes, yes, yes. So the first album, first big music exposure I had to him was Witch Hazel, and which I downloaded, burned on a CD. Remember burning on CDs, kids?
Yes.
Burned on a CD and listened to constantly. And I mean, when I say constantly, I mean put that on my CD player, went to sleep with it spinning constantly. And just loved the whole prog thing. Now, this is the thing. I'd been into this kind of music for years and never knew it had a name.
Yes.
You know, anything that sounded, when I was growing up, anything that sounded like medieval or folky, you know, like people in the woods playing panpipes kind of thing. I didn't know that had a name. So I just ate Witch Hazel for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and loved that to death. So that's the kind of way I get with an artist. If I love this album, I will play it to death. And then when the next album comes out and it's completely different than this one, I'm like, I don't know.
Yes, I do the exact same thing.
So Opium, completely. I finally got a copy of Opium after trolling eBay and trying to find one, because the only way you could get it was if you went to a gig. He hadn't like widely released it. The only way you could get Opium is if you had been to one of his gigs and bought one. So I was on eBay for I don't know how long trying to find one, which I did for under $20.
Wow.
And that, that was a feat in and of itself.
You're aging yourself here. You're dating yourself. Because it goes for a lot more than that now.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I started to listen to it. I'm like, okay. But the first line is, I pulled back my skin and pushed forward with triumphant vigor. I'm like, oh, excuse me, hello, what? Okay, you got my attention there. But the rest of it, it is so different in tone and content from Witch Hazel. I kind of resisted it at first. And it took me, I don't know how long, to be able to hear Love's a Fool without hearing the Snuffbox theme.
Yeah.
Took me a long time to do that. But once I got into it and understood, okay, yes, this is different because it's telling a different story. It's a different, because I could see this whole thing in my head. Listening to that in the beginning, you hear the claps. And I could see in my head, almost like a beat poet, somebody stepping out on the stage with his poetry, reciting. And then later on, the hangman, you there, who by shame brings it, you know. I could see that this guy in a club reciting his poetry kind of a thing. And then the whole, there's like a story being told there that's so different from Witch Hazel. And it took me a while to get into that, but now I got to what, Love Opium. So, yeah, at first I resisted because it was so different from what I was.
Wow.
I think most people are like this. They get an album that they like and the artist that they like, and they expect that same thing with the next album. And when it doesn't happen, you're a little resistant, which is why I didn't like Phantom Birds at all.
Yeah, it takes you a while to get into it, especially with Matt, because every one of his albums, except for Witch Hazel and Kill the Wolf, are completely different than one another. Mm. So you do. It takes you a few minutes to be like, do I like this? I think I like it. I'm pretty sure I like it. But I haven't gotten that with Opium. I have
to. Really?
Oh my god.
Yeah,
guys.
I've never gotten that with Opium.
Okay.
We'll convert her yet.
That one's never won me over.
Nope. I'm saying, it took me a minute, but I got there.
That was my collecting
like my
Holy Grail
album.
For a while. And I finally with some help, I tracked down a copy. And now my collection's complete and I can sleep at night.
Because we have spies in the UK.
I still need it.
Checking UK Discogs and eBay for us for stuff that we can't get and then shipping it to us. That's really the good.
I need it, but I'm not allowed to spend more than $100.
Yeah.
I spend a lot more than $100.
Well, that's how I got the Kill the Wolf box set, too, because of our friends in the UK that look out for us to find stuff for us.
I was just going to ask, sorry, I'm barraging you with questions, so feel free to...
I am the dartboard. Fire away. Like I
said, tell us about...
You are people that I get to talk to about this man.
We will talk
him.
Your ear off all night.
Seriously.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What are some of your favorites? So, obviously, Opium was a little bit of a grower for you. What are your favorite albums? What are your favorite of Matt's songs? What gets the most spin for you?
I should have thought about that because I figured you guys are going to ask me something like that. My favorite song of all time in the world is October Sun. I can't live without that.
It's fantastic.
Excellent choice.
I miss being able to blast that because I don't have the car anymore. It was like when that album came out, it's like burn that CD, play it in the car. I'm riding down the street, windows wide open, blasting music like everybody does. And they do. That is not a racial thing, but everybody does. They're blasting their tunes and their jams, and you can feel the bass bumping before they even get to your block. I'm blasting October Sun out my windows.
Which is unusual.
But then again, I'm weird anyway. If it wasn't that, it would be show tunes of some kind. I think that summer I was very partial to this Hairspray soundtrack. So
so good.
So it was that as well. But yeah, October Sun. I think favorite song definitely. Favorite album.
Yeah, favorite album.
It's a toss up.
I know it's hard. You can say top three.
Witch Hazel and Kill the Wolf. Definitely.
Nice.
So, Joan, I was snooping at your SoundCloud, and I came across your cover of Breathe by Anna Nalick, and
Do I still have that up there? Okay.
Oh, you do. You do. And it is
so good.
I love that song so much. And I listened to it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So yeah, I just had to tell you, fantastic. That one's really great. Are you currently working on
any, yeah,
do you work on anything now? Like any musical projects that you're currently working on?
Sort of, kind of. I just wish I were the kind of person that could create their own music, you know, as in, you know, create their own music instead of having to rely on, on tracks. I'm not, even though I do play a little bit, I play a little bit of guitar, a little bit of keyboard, but I'm not that adept where I don't have all the equipment that I would need to create all of my own. You know, that's another headache that if I were younger and had the patience for it, maybe, but I'm old. Okay. I don't have the patience for that anymore, but it would really be nice. I am working on some things. I can't say whether or not they will be finished anytime soon, but there's a project that I had started a little while back that I've been working on bits and pieces over the last year or two. Yes. I just want to sing. That's all.
Me too. But I want to be able to sing well.
One of the things that I've been working on trying to get finished is a course just for beginning singers and people who do karaoke and stuff like that. Not a big full-on course. Or if you want to be a singer, you know, that, none of that crap. For people who are just the casual singer, you just sing in your car, you just sing in your shower, you just do karaoke, or you're just a beginning singer. Okay, this is
where
I'm trying to develop a small course to give you building blocks to where you can
move on
to something else. So
I need something where I can sing in my car and not embarrass myself.
Agreed.
Because I don't care. I just sing.
Well, then why are you embarrassed if you don't care?
I mean, because, like, deep down,
there it is.
You do care.
Oh, no, yeah. I probably
believe in yourself.
You truly do care.
Well, awesome.
Does it sing like nobody's listening?
Oh, I do. I assure you.
There you go.
I have a question, Joan. I have a question.
Yeah.
So you and I, and I'm sure many others, were around for Matt's heyday on Twitter, where Matt used to just post he would post crazy shit. He would post just like the most inane shit. Like, it was just, I literally joined Twitter to follow him. My name on Twitter is The Forksmith because I literally was just looking at his Porksmith and was like, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to steal his name, essentially. Do you have any, like, favorite Twitters from Matt from back in the day that you remember fondly?
He used to have... It's kind of like a non-narrative story. If you strung all these tweets together about this ne'er-do-well who would often take the horse across the field at midnight, or I think the song Knock Knock on Kill the Wolf is kind of a thing about that. He always would always be at odds with the vicar and be wanting to get into the chapel and this and that. So that, I think that was a part of it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, am I mistaken that you used to occasionally DM with him? Like, weren't there a few messages exchanged?
A couple. Shortly after the Christmas thing, I can't remember how long after that, he had messaged me saying, I might have something for you to sing. And I messaged back, I'm at your service, sir. You know, and he never got back to me. I don't know. I'm like, please, God.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know what that, I don't know what would have happened there, but I was waiting.
Matt, if you're listening,
right?
Joan's still here.
Hit her up on Twitter. Give her that song.
You heard it from us.
Right. At least tell her what it was that you had planned. Right.
Oh, God. He probably doesn't even remember.
Leave a girl hanging for, like, 10 years. That's not cool.
As long as I draw breath, I'm immensely flattered that he would find me worthy.
I think he made a good choice.
It's such a compliment,
because you have an amazing voice, and that's a really amazing thing. I mean, probably the one and only crowdsourced song ever, and you were chosen out of all of those people.
Your vocals fit the tracks so well too, with that wall of sound production and then your Ronnie Spector style vocals. It just works.
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
So weird.
Well, thank you so much for coming on with us. This was really cool.
Thank you for asking me. Like I said, I could actually talk to people that know.
It's a little surreal to actually put a face to the name and actually talk with you after spending so much time reading your posts and
your musings. Bowels of Tumblr. Like,
thank you, Joan, so much. You've been amazing.
Thank yes.
you. Thank you all.
Have a great
night. You'd be amazing, though.
Gracious ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, this is cool. Our very first guest. So that's about it. We just wanted to take a minute to thank everyone so much for your ongoing support. The Spotify Wrapped just came out, as everybody knows, so you can see who's your top five songs and favorite artists of the year. What we didn't know is that Spotify also does a Wrapped for podcasters, and we were blown away by what our numbers look like and our support, and we couldn't do it without you, and we're not monetized. We've made the collective decision to not monetize the podcast, so this is a true labor of love. And with that being said, anytime you can like us or follow us on your listening platforms or on social media, it really does help us become more visible. Even if you can go on and give us a star rating on your listening platform, I know you can do that on Spotify. You know, just the way the algorithms work, it does help us. But thank you so much. We really do appreciate it. Speaking of support, since this song was originally recorded with all proceeds benefiting the UK homelessness charity Shelter, we will be sharing their donation link as well as the link for Covenant House, which provides shelter and social services to unhoused youth in North America. If you feel so inclined, please think about making a donation this holiday season.
We'll be sharing the links for Joan's SoundCloud and Bandcamp sites if you'd like to listen further. We strongly recommend her version of Anna Nalick's 2 AM Breathe. And as always, don't forget to follow us. We're at Obsessed Obscure on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and for good measure, in case Twitter goes up in flames, we also now have created a Mastodon account and a Hive Social account. And of course, we have a very active Discord channel. We'll be back next week with part two of A Very Berry Christmas. If you've been following us on social media, you may know what we have in store.
Spoiler alert.